Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our Let's Talk series. Last time, Rick hosted a conversation about leadership, and today we're going to focus on children's ministry and stories of how we can get restarted. My name is Ruth Bromley, and I am PCI's Children's Development Officer, and I am your host for this episode. Children's ministry has been hugely impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, as has so much of the ministry in our congregations, and getting back and restarted has been challenging and continues to be with the restrictions that we live with. However, reconnecting and re-establishing relationships with children and their families is so crucial. It's important to keep in mind that restarting may not look the same as it did previously, and there is space in these times to try some ways of ministry that look a bit different or may simply be for this time as we build towards a more normal routine of life and ministry. In PCI, congregations and contexts vary greatly, and so stories are different across the denomination, and yet our aim is the same: to share the gospel with children and families and support those families as they share faith with their children and live as disciples in their everyday life. So joining me today in this conversation are the Reverend Mark Johnson from St Andrews in Bangor, Stephanie Houston from High Kirk in Ballymena, and Hazel Kyle from Glengormley Presbyterian. And they're going to share some stories of restarting and reimagining our children's ministry at this time. So thank you to you all for joining with me this morning as we talk about this important part of our ministry. And maybe you could start by introducing yourself, telling us who you are and where you're from, though I've done a little bit of that, and your involvement in children's ministry. So Stephanie, would you like to start?
Yeah, my name is Stephanie, which you've just said. I am the Children's Ministry Associate in High Kirk. So I've been here for just over 2 years now and love it. I suppose part of my role then is overseeing children's ministry, whether that be on a Sunday morning or throughout the week.
Hi, I'm Hazel. I'm from Glengormley Presbyterian. I'm a wife, I'm a mum, and soon to be a granny. And life for me, I'm involved in admin basically in Glengormley, but I'm also involved in some of the connections with families and young people, and trying to keep that going through lockdown.
Hi Ruth, so my name's Mark. I'm a minister in St Andrews Presbyterian Church down in Bangor. We've been here for about 5 years now, and I'm married to Gillian. I have three wee ones, Daniel who's 9, Peter who's 7, and Sophie who is 2. So in terms of my involvement in children's ministry in the church family, I'm there as a minister to try and encourage and support our ministry leaders, but I'm there also as a dad trying to learn what it is to be a parent and share faith in the cut and thrust of everyday life.
Okay, brilliant, thank you. Mark, I'm going to start with you just while you're there. And I want you to think back over the last 18 months since COVID hit. How did, in a nutshell, the pandemic affect the children's ministry in your congregation?
Yeah, it's affected it in a pretty massive way. I have to say, we have had families and we've experienced it ourselves, trying to cope at home with the challenge of homeschooling and the kind of chaos that has brought to family life and the pressures that has brought to bear on families as well. Obviously, we couldn't meet our different Sunday school ministries or praise and play ministry, which is our creche facility. And so it was very, very challenging initially. The wonderful thing is that our leaders are just so thankful for their creativity, and they're willing to have a go at trying new things to simply stay connected with our children and young people and mums and dads and grannies and grandas. So there was a huge shift during the pandemic to trying to stay connected with our kids online initially, and then whenever we began to meet in person, trying to think creatively with all the restrictions of how we can get alongside our kids, but also shifting towards trying to equip mums and dads to continue to share faith at home in the midst of all that they were coping with as well. So it was a really steep learning curve. It was a bit of an adventure as well, experimenting with lots of different things. But yeah, we were kind of just taking one day at a time and going with the flow.
Okay, brilliant. Stephanie, what about you? How has it affected the children's ministry in High Kirk?
suppose when lockdown initially happened, I think I thought honestly that it was going to be a month or two. So going online was totally fine. And then that kind of carried on for nearly 2 years. But I do think that, yes, sometimes I can think of the impact of it very negatively, but actually I found that a lot of the impact was quite positive, because it really made me shift my thoughts and my views of children's ministry to seeing just the basics and seeing actually what is really important, what's the core of ministry. And actually that's had a big impact on how we have restarted. So we've changed our children's ministry a bit. We've changed the programs, we've changed the layout and the format of how it's done. And honestly, I'm not entirely sure that would have happened if it wasn't for the pandemic and really that stripping us back to the basics of things and being able to see what truly was important. So although yes, there has been the negative impact, I honestly think that the pandemic has brought a lot of positivity and a positive impact towards the children's ministry that we have here.
Brilliant. And Hazel, how about in Glengormley? How did it affect what was going on in your church?
So prior to COVID, we had a Friday club and a Sunday club for our primary school children. We had a big parents and toddlers group. We had creche, and all of a sudden that stopped. We also didn't have a minister at that time. We had just issued a call to our minister. So we were looking forward to the installation at the end of April. That didn't happen either until June. And it just felt like everything stopped and what was happening. We were very thankful for Zoom, believe it or not, and we were very thankful for WhatsApp. We got together at some videos of families saying Happy Easter to each other and put those together to try and keep connection with each other, and thought, like everybody else, sure, after Easter we'll be able to get back together and it'll be fine. And it just kept going and going. So we were keeping connections with the families, with the parents and with the grandparents. But with our children was very difficult, and trying to keep those connections and that relationship going was a real challenge. And it's still something that we're working our way through at the moment.
Yeah, and that's a story that I've heard across the board, you know, that it's been difficult at times to keep those connections, particularly with the children and young people themselves. It's been easier to connect with parents in that. So Hazel, just with you, how have you, since restrictions have eased a bit more and we've been able to do more face-to-face ministry and things are starting up again, how have you begun to reconnect with those families over the last few months and restart the children's ministry? And why has that been really important to do?
So last September, our church services weren't back in person until October. So as a church, we weren't meeting together. We knew that trying to get our children back together at that stage wasn't going to be possible. So we were putting out videos at that stage for our families to use. And that went through till Easter. And at Easter time, whenever restrictions were lifted, we decided as a church we would have two services in the morning, that everyone would be offered a seat at church every other week, which again was still a bit of disconnect. But we decided at that point our families were going to be our priority. For the first and third weeks, our families were going to be invited to come to our church hall at 10 o'clock. And we would have a table for each family. And at the table, we would ask families to sit socially distanced. We would have a song, we would have a story, and then we would have some craft or ideas at the table for the family to work their way through. And then at 10:30, the streamed service would be streamed into the hall, so the families then could connect with the stream service as well. And then on the second and fourth Sundays, the families again were given priority at 10:30 to be in the church and would sit together as a family, and we would provide some material in the pews for the children to use and to try and engage them with what was happening in the church service. So that happened right through until the end of June. And then in July, we decided as a church, we would go online completely and have a break from in-person services because everybody was exhausted trying to keep this going. Our Holiday Bible Club went back online through July. And then back in August, again, we resumed the every other week in church in the hall. And then in September, when we could get everyone in at a meter apart, everyone was offered a service every week. So again, we identified our families as being a priority. At 10:30, they were offered a seat in church. Then at about 10 minutes into the service, the children now leave to go to the hall to be together with the leaders. And we're just started our GLOW group on a Sunday morning for primary age children. And I've got to say, the joy of being together in the hall with them is just great.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's so good to hear how you connected with them when you couldn't do your children's ministry in the same way and have families together, but how now you're able to have the children's ministry again and people in church, but you're still connecting with the family. So I just think it's such a great story of how you've used the situation to do the best that you could. Mark, how have you begun to reconnect? I know you've changed things a bit in St Andrews and things are looking a wee bit different to they did before, but how have you been reconnecting and restarting your children's ministry?
Yeah, so our Sunday ministries, and well, just before the summertime, we took advantage of the good weather and began to have a couple of outdoor picnics after Sunday worship. And so had a teddy bears picnic just at the end of August and another picnic at the beginning of July, and really trying to encourage families, but all ages across the church family, to get connected with one another face to face, which was great. And now that we're able to meet again, a minimum of 1 meter distancing Sunday by Sunday, we've restarted our praise and play ministry for little babies and toddlers on a Sunday morning, and Kids for Jesus for primary school kids, and then Bible class for teens. It's in the second half of the service. And again, we're really thankful for that. And the kids are enjoying that. And the leaders are really up for it as well. It is a wee bit different, but it's still just so good to see families coming out again. Our Tots and Co, which is our kind of toddlers during the week gathering, is getting up and going. We've been walking together over the last couple of Tuesday mornings, and tomorrow morning actually is the first time that we'll be meeting back in the main church building together with families from right across the community, which we're really excited about. For us, one of the biggest changes has been what we've been doing with our BB and GB ministries. Over the last couple of months, I think the Lord has been doing a huge work in the hearts and lives of all our leaders in BB and GB. We had relatively strong BB and GBs before the pandemic began, but God has been doing a work in the hearts and lives of our leaders, who have been saying, we sense that the Lord is now saying to lay BB and GB down, to pull our leaders together and to bring boys and girls together, and to start a new form of youth ministry for children, young people and their families across the community and church family, that is maybe slightly simpler, and that just enables us to engage more with young people across the community. So it's now called Spark for our preschool and primary school ministry. It started last Monday night, and then Ignite for teenagers, which started last Thursday evening. So for us in St Andrews, that has been a humongous change, not brought about by elders or a minister thinking, wouldn't it be great to do this, but actually God doing a work in the hearts and lives of our leaders to say, we sense that this is what God is saying at the moment.
It's so exciting. I mean, obviously we're not encouraging people to remove their BBs and GBs in any way. We're very supportive of those, but it's good to hear a story in your situation where actually God has really been at work and has led your leaders. It's great that it comes from volunteers as well, just to try something different. And maybe a bit like Stephanie said earlier, there's something about the pandemic has encouraged that maybe it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for that situation. Stephanie, tell us a wee bit about how in Highkirk you've been reconnecting with family.
I suppose once we were allowed to be back up and running initially last year, we decided at that point that it was important to have children's ministry as well, to allow as many families to be out on a Sunday morning. So we have had children's ministry for the full hour of church, which has been challenging in itself, to try and occupy children for that whole length of time. And also because they're not getting into church itself and they're missing that kind of 20 minutes. Although we're hopeful that soon that will be able to be back up and running. So for a while now, we've had the children out on a Sunday morning. Although at the start, that was only for our P2 to P4 children. Kind of preschool to P1 didn't have anything. They were kind of just sat out in the foyer with a TV, sat in their family groups. So they were still able to come out to church. They were still able to have a week of learn sheep, but they really weren't getting much teaching from Sunday school as such. So this September we were really, really pleased to be able to get that up and running again throughout one of our services. So we now have Little High Kirk Kids and High Kirk Kids. So Little High Kirk Kids is from 3-year-old up to P1, and then we have our P2s to P7s in High Kirk Kids. And it's just been really great to have them back. When COVID was happening the last year before the September, we're running a program that was pretty much like a holiday Bible club every Sunday morning, just so that it was all kind of front based. And now we've kind of done a hybrid model of what came before that. So pre-COVID Sunday school and then COVID Sunday school, I suppose, is how I can call it. But now we have this hybrid model because we actually saw that some of the things we were doing during that time, the kids were really engaging with, but also we didn't want to lose what we had got before COVID. So now we have a hybrid model, which kind of has allowed us to have smaller groups. So our P2s to P4s are able to discuss together, and our P5s to P7s are able to discuss together. And that has just been really amazing to see, if I'm honest. Some of the conversations I've had the opportunity to listen into have been incredible. Actually, just last Sunday, we were learning a memory verse, and one of the kids was like, "I'm just going to make this really simple for us." And I was like, "Go for it." And they were like, "I have sinned, but Jesus rescues me." I was blown away. This wee P4 was just completely paraphrasing the memory verse, but had really just got to the heart of it. And we're sharing that with their peers. And so I have really seen, since we have kind of restarted this September, that the children are just really getting it. And it just makes my heart really happy to see us getting to that point. We also, during COVID, when we were able to start restarting, decided to do family services every so often. And they were really impactful, especially for that group that didn't really have very much going on. So we were able to get the children into the sanctuary, into a place where they hadn't really been. And we're able to get them worshiping beside their family members. And that was just a joy as well. The feedback from parents and the emotion, if I'm honest, from parents and from me, was something we hadn't had in so long. And so we were really actually quite surprised at how well they had went, but really, really thankful for them as well. I suppose it's just really taught us that children really need the connection with each other. And we're really seeing the impact of that over the last few weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, again, that's one of the things I've heard across the denomination as I've been talking to people about how special it has been to be able to reconnect with children and families and see the joy and see what kids have learnt, even whenever we haven't been with them as much, and just see how Jesus is working in their lives. And it's incredible hearing your stories are all quite different, but the impact of faith on the church, on the kids, has been huge. Stephanie, what are the lessons? You talked a wee bit at the end there about some of the things you've been learning, but what are the lessons you've been learning as you've thought through the children's ministry and how you can reconnect with families in your congregation? And maybe you'll continue to learn them over the next little while, but is there anything in particular that you've been learning?
Yeah. I suppose I've been learning, or continually learning, that children's ministry has to be flexible. We don't know what is around the corner, and I really hope it's not another pandemic, but I think I just need to remember those basics. I think that's going back to one of the very first things that I said, just remembering the heart of the ministry and being able to be flexible then with everything else. I suppose something else that I have learned, and I think that actually came from doing online things, was that children all learn in very different ways, and we need to incorporate that in our children's ministry in order to be able to teach them effectively and to reach them for Jesus. So I suppose I need to be a bit more creative and continually more creative in how I help the children who need to sit down and doodle to be able to learn, or the children who do need to sit and just listen, or the children who need to talk it through, or the children who need something really practical or really visual in order to learn. And so I think this last couple of months, I've been really trying to learn, how do I do that better? And how do I then introduce that into all areas of children's ministry? It did stem from one circumstance that I'll share, because that was my big encouragement. But I think it really pushed me then to think about that a little bit more.
Okay, brilliant. And it's always good that we learn things especially through the difficulties of the last months, and keep learning them. Hazel, have you been learning, or what are the things you've been learning in Glengormley through this, and how you can keep that going in the future?
I think one of the things that we have really missed is just actually physically being together. I think everybody has found that a big challenge. And to be able to sit down with our children and to spend time with them, getting to know them and where they are at and what's been happening in their lives, and just the privilege that there is in building those relationships and watching our children grow. It's just, I suppose for me personally, I have the privilege of knowing some of the children really well and some of their families really well, but others are sort of more on the fringes, and just how important it is to spend time listening to the children, where they're at, and just remembering it's a privilege to be involved in what we're doing.
Brilliant. Mark, what lessons have you been learning in St Andrews over the last little while?
Yeah, we've been learning a lot. It has been a really steep learning curve. I suppose we've been learning to hold, a bit like what Stephanie was saying earlier, to hold tightly to the amazing news of Jesus that we are called day by day to share with our little ones and our grown-ups as well, but to hold lightly to how we would share that. So in terms of programs and all of that, I mean, what we're doing now is pretty different to what we were doing pre-pandemic, but to be okay with that as we hold lightly to that, to not be afraid to have a go and to get it wrong, or to realize we have to tweak things a wee bit. We've been learning, I am a control freak. And so that holding lightly thing has been a huge lesson for me. Not fixating on numbers. So starting back small actually has been really good, because we begin to rebuild relationships with our little ones and their families in a deeper way. And just that focus on the relationships between the kids and the families has been so vitally important. As Hazel has been saying, we've really missed that as well. So it's been a joy. It's brought real life to some of our older members to see kids coming back and younger families coming back, and actually making the most of the times when our young people are in worship gatherings corporately. So we have been bringing our kids back in when we've been celebrating baptisms and communion, and saying to our folk, look, don't you stress if there's your little ones are making noise in the church family. It is a constant reminder to us that we are a multi-generational family. And young folks, as we celebrate communion together, keep an eye on what's going on and make sure you chat with the grown-ups around you about what is actually happening. Ask them loads of questions. And so we're trying to encourage that more and more. And again, just a wee anecdote, it's just lovely to hear a story of one of our little ones a couple of weeks ago, out in Kids for Jesus, comes home in the car with her mummy, says, mummy, this is what I learned today. Jesus died for me and he loves me. Then, mummy, what did you learn in church today? And just knowing that wee conversation happening at home is just really encouraging.
Yeah, and you know, isn't that, I think that's probably something we've all learned in life as well as children's ministry, to hold tight to the things that are crucial to what we do and in who Jesus is, and helping children and families to understand what it means to be a disciple and to follow Jesus, but holding lightly maybe the traditions of how we have done that, and think about how we can do that in the best way possible. Now, Mark, you've just shared a little story of encouragement. Do you have another story that you could share from your children and families of how faith and church has impacted them?
So I'll probably go back to what I mentioned earlier about just the huge shift that there has been within St Andrews. And I have to say, you were right, Ruth, to say earlier, we're not advocating laying down uniformed organisations in any shape or form. In our own context here in St Andrews, the Lord has been doing a work which is probably pretty unique to where we're at the moment. But we have been really encouraged just to see God at work in the hearts of the leaders who are really pumped for this. And last Monday night, we had our first Spark gathering for preschool and primary school kids. And we had about 120 kids that came along. We did all the social distancing stuff, so don't worry. But it was just a really encouraging, it was an emotional night, because the shift from laying down our uniformed organizations has been a big deal for the church. But to see young folk come back, because we didn't think that young folk would come back, and to hear them singing songs about Jesus, to hear them being taught about how much Jesus loves them, to hear the stories from last Monday night feed into the school gate and Clandeboy Primary School throughout last week as well. And for us too, to have mums and dads and grannies and grandas staying around for the hour and a quarter of the programme, having tea and coffee. It's the first time that has actually ever happened. And so we had a wee team that was there going around serving tea and coffee very safely and just trying to engage with the grown-ups as well, so that it was work with our children, but also trying to engage with our adults too. So it's all very live and present at the moment. Week two begins tonight. We're not sure how it'll go. But again, we're just so encouraged because we sense that God is doing a work here.
Oh, that's amazing. It's so good to hear those sort of stories. Stephanie, do you have a story that you could share that would just encourage others who are listening?
Yeah, I suppose the one that really sticks out in my mind came from our online things, and this is why I really started thinking creatively about how we teach and the way that children learn. We had a girl, and she was P3 at this point, and before COVID, I mean, trying to get her into Sunday school was really tough, and she would have cried, she would have clung to her mum, she really wasn't feeling it at all, she was just very, very shy. And so actually when things went online and she was in the comfort of her own home, she was able to learn in a way that she was able to engage with. The little girl actually gave her life to Jesus through that. And that was incredible. It was a huge encouragement for me. You can imagine the tears. But just to see her now in Sunday school actually is a completely different picture to what it was pre-pandemic. And I'm so thankful for that. But actually, her being able to learn in the way that she did and being able to be comfortable, that had a massive impact then on how she was able to see Jesus and to understand who he was. And so yes, like pandemic, I didn't really think that anyone was watching the videos. I was so discouraged that my ministry was doing nothing. And then to hear that story was just, it was incredible and such a blessing to be able to actually have been part of that. I suppose I'm going to cheat. I'm going to tell you something else as well. But very quickly, I suppose one of the big encouragements as well is actually seeing our young people from our youth ministry coming into leadership and actually having got this newfound passion for children's ministry and for sharing the gospel with them that they have found in their own lives. And that has been pre-pandemic. So that's also another huge encouragement, and just seeing how they are currently really striving for Jesus and wanting to just share all about that with our children.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you know, I've heard stories of, I keep saying I've heard stories, but I have heard quite a lot of stories of how children's and young people's faith have come on in leaps and bounds during the pandemic. You know, we often think of the bad things and the difficult things of the pandemic, but actually there are loads of stories of children who've come to faith, young people who've moved in leaps and bounds in their faith over the last 18 months. And are just back at church wanting to be involved and serve and part of what's going on. And that's really exciting in what we have coming in the months ahead. Hazel, I don't want to miss out on a story from you. Is there something that you have had that you could share of encouragement with your children and families over the last month?
I suppose being out with our children this week, we have a couple who are quite young, who have, you know, 18 months whenever you're just six is a huge chunk of your time. So you don't really remember what it was like before COVID. So this is what's happening now is really what your memory is. So we have a few who are very sort of clinging to mom, not wanting to come out on their own. And they have progressed over this past month that their confidence now is coming on. And it's just great to see, you know, being there at the beginning of September when they wouldn't even tell you what their name was, to on Sunday morning them reciting the memory verse all by themselves, and just thinking, wow, you know, the confidence that they've now grown, and feeling at the beginning really down because we didn't have that relationship with them that we felt we would have had it by that stage, to knowing a month later, gosh, they really have come on just in that short period of time. And that, I suppose, is an encouragement to keep going with what we've been doing.
Oh, brilliant. I just love hearing stories about children and their faith and how church is impacting on them. Just as we finish, or we ask all participants if they would share something in scripture that maybe they've been impacted by or learning over the last little while. And I'm hoping that you'd each share something with the listeners that has just influenced how you've been thinking. Hazel, would you go first and just share something with us?
I suppose there have been so many pieces of scripture that have spoken to me lately, but they've all been pointing to the fact that God is telling me it's okay, I'm in charge, I'm in control of this, and you don't have to worry about it. I'm a bit of a control freak. I like things to be the way I want them to be, and God is going, actually, you don't need to worry about this. And I suppose last week I was reminded about Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And, you know, even sitting down with our children at the very beginning of this year and talking about creation and how God created the world, and just reminded me that my relationship with God has got to be right first before anything else. And he has just been constantly saying, look at me, follow me, I've got this, just do what I'm asking you to do, be where you're at, and that's all I'm asking.
Brilliant. Thank you, Hazel. Mark, do you have something you could share with us?
Yeah, so I go back to some of our really favourite Bible verses, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And it's a constant reminder for me day by day to trust in the Lord above anyone or anything else, to lean not on my own understanding. I haven't a clue half the time what's going on or what's around the corner even tomorrow, and the pandemic has taught me that very much. But in all my ways, every meeting that I'm going into, and every moment to try and encourage a youth leader who's trying to work out how to do youth ministry, for example, we put him first, we ask for his help, we ask his spirit to lead and guide us, and he has directed our paths, he is directing our paths, and he will direct our paths going forward. And it takes the pressure off a numpty like me, and we place it all over to the Lord, knowing that he is at work, and we trust him one day at a time.
Brilliant, thank you. And Stephanie, could you finish off by sharing something with us?
This is kind of the passage that I always go back to when I consider children's ministry, but it continues to impact me whether programs have changed or stopped or anything, because it's, I think, takes me back to the heart of why we do children's ministry. And it's Matthew 21, 14 to 16. And it kind of is in that bit where Jesus clears the temple. And it says, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, Jesus replied, haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise. And just that image of children in the temple when actually the adults didn't really grasp it. And it is my prayer that adults grasp the gospel too, don't get me wrong. But that image of children being able to say, praise God for Jesus, it blows me away. Children being able to grasp it for themselves, or God using us to teach children and infants to give him praise. I think that's just, that passage always impacts me when I'm thinking children's ministry and the core office. I think my desire just for our children in this church is that they do stand and declare, like, praise God for Jesus. And so I think when I read that, it really just spurs me on, reminds me of the vision that I have and the purpose that God has given me when I am working with children and infants.
Wow, what a brilliant way to finish, thinking about how we can encourage children to praise Jesus for who he is. I just want to say thank you to the three of you for joining me in this conversation and sharing some of the stories of your experience and your congregation at this time. And if any of the listeners have any stories to share of restarting your children's ministry and connecting with families of young children, please get in touch with me in Assembly Buildings. I would love to hear them. Before we go, I wanted to bring a couple of things to your attention and hope they'll be useful. There are updated guidelines for children's and youth ministry on the Presbyterian Church's website, at www.presbyterianireland.org/together-again-for-children's-ministry. And also there is a newly launched short video clip called Simple Ways Back to Children's Ministry, which can be found in the same place, www.presbyterianireland.org/together-again-for-children's-ministry in the practical support section. But for now, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.